This has nothing to do with government efficiency, right? If you wanted to make the government more efficient, you wouldn't start by firing all the inspector generals whose job it is to look out for waste, fraud, and abuse. Doing that actually clears the way for the kind of corruption that Elon Musk would like to bring to the government. A lot of what they're doing is to destroy government, but also to so weaken it that it can then serve their purposes. And I think they want to create the impression that in the process they're saving money to pay for their tax cuts. All of it is a big lie.
It's a big lie, but they're doing a pretty good impression, if you ask me.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It is not.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Not scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN, up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO and Eugene's KEPW, Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York, WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet, so the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com, now celebrating 22 years of troublemaking and muckraking. Thank you very much for joining us for another thrilling edition of the Bradcast. Delighted to have you all here. On Monday, while we were off for President's Day, there was yet another airplane disaster, the fifth one during the first 4 weeks of the Trump administration, all of which took place after Donald Trump fired the director of the Federal Aviation Administration at the direction of one Elon Musk, who was mad at the FAA director for a number of things having to do with Musk's SpaceX company, one of the federal government's largest contractors, with Musk now effectively running the U.S. government through his so-called Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, which is neither an official department of the federal government nor clearly operating in the interest of government efficiency. Well, he's pretty much able to, you know, hire and fire pretty much anyone he likes, or in this case, at the FAA, anyone who he does not like. Since the removal of the FAA administrator, who had about 3.5 years left on his term before he was fired by the Trump administration, there have now been 5 airplane disasters, major ones, the fifth of which took place on Monday and resulted in a Delta Airlines jet from Minneapolis carrying 76 passengers and 4 crew members flipping over onto its roof and catching fire while landing at Toronto's Pearson Airport. Incredibly, the good news, all 80 people on board survived, though some were hospitalized with relatively minor injuries, and the cause of the disaster remains unknown at this time. But it came just after Trump and Musk's DOGE operation laid off several hundred federal FAA officials on Friday night, just 2 days before the fifth deadly incident in 4 weeks. The first, as you may recall, in which a passenger jet landing at D.C. Reagan National Airport collided with a military helicopter. That one killed all 67 on board both crafts. That occurred when staffing levels were lower than normal at the air traffic controller for tower for some reason that night. So, sure, let's fire more FAA officials. On top of the federal hiring freeze that is already in place, preventing the hiring of more much-needed air traffic controllers. Because efficiency. After firing hundreds of Federal Aviation Administration employees, the Trump administration is now attempting to downplay safety concerns. Donald Trump and Elon Musk fired hundreds of Federal Aviation Administration workers on Friday night amid a startling series of plane crashes and other air-related incidents in recent weeks. A few days later, the Trump administration is telling Americans, don't worry, because they didn't fire anyone too important. Feel better, Des Doyne?
No, I do not. Apparently, Trump says that Musk is going to now turn all of his intellectual power to redoing the FAA air traffic control system.
Yeah, oh yeah, they say they're going to make it better. The reason they're getting rid of everyone is because Elon Musk is going to use his Musk magic to improve it.
He did with Tesla self-driving cars, I hope.
Oh, gosh, boy. I was going to get one of those, decided to get a Pinto instead. Thought it might be safer.
Yep.
Elon Musk posted on X on Monday, quote, to the best of our knowledge, well, that's encouraging, no one affecting safety has been fired. Okay. Former and current FAA officials, however, say the purge could certainly affect air safety going forward. According to AP, the mass firings included, quote, personnel hired for FAA radar, landing, and navigational aid maintenance. Well, all of that doesn't sound too important, to the best of my knowledge. Rolling Stone spoke with a fired FAA employee who was among a handful of employees working on an obstacle impact team evaluating tens of thousands of potential new hazards, such as new buildings that go up, windmills, especially cranes, to inform flight procedures each year about those new obstacles. The obstacle impact team was already understaffed before it was gutted. The fired employee, whose name Rolling Stone does not give, said, quote, there are currently 4 people remaining over there to do the work of 15 people. They add the danger to the national airspace cannot be understated. This is a very real threat to the American flying public. While the mass firings targeted so-called probationary employees, that doesn't mean the cuts only affect employees with limited experience. And this is something that has been driving me crazy for days. So
yes.
I'm glad to talk about it. Something really important to understand about all of this is you're hearing all of these stories of the Trump-Musk purge of the federal government. They're only firing probationary employees. Well, over the last few days, they have fired thousands, if not tens of thousands, of these so-called probationary employees, which have generally been referred to as new government hires. Federal workers, they're in their first year. They're considered to be in a probationary period when they can be fired at will instead of only for cause. Some federal workers in law enforcement or national security, their probationary period may stretch 2 or even 3 years. So they may have been there already for 2 or 3 years before they were just fired by email by Elon Musk. But while firing all of those workers seemingly just randomly en masse, as the Trump-Musk administration seems to be doing, that would be bad enough on its own. But many of these workers are actually not new workers, many of these so-called probationary employees. If you go from one government agency to another, you will also be considered a probationary employee, no matter how long you may have been working with the government. For example, you may have seen this social media posting from a 16-year government worker who says that he had been at USDA for most of those years before being transferred to the Department of Homeland Security and then back to the U.S. Department of Agriculture again recently. So despite his years of experience and institutional knowledge as a specialist in his field, he was considered a probationary employee at the USDA. And guess what? He was fired last week. He's also, as he notes in his social media posting, a huge Trump supporter. And we know his story because he took to social media basically to beg Donald Trump to restore his job. But the point here is that when you hear about all of these so-called probationary workers who are now being laid off en masse at scores of federal agencies, these are not all just new, inexperienced workers. Moreover, many of them, even if new, they are very much needed at the agencies where they have been hired, like, for example, the FAA, where they've now been laid off. As Rolling Stone explains about the FAA employee that one of them that they talked to, that employee is a veteran, previously performed the same role for years for a government contractor. And then after that contract ended, the FAA hired most of his team back directly. So he's got a lot of skills. I don't know if it's a he. They have a lot of skills that are important to FAA. They were jobbed out to a contractor, they came back to the FAA, and now they are fired because they are considered to be probationary, despite all the years of subject matter knowledge they have.
Yeah, it's really, that probationary status is really just a technicality for many of these people. It's a technical term that defines, hey, you just got promoted, congratulations, now you're fired.
On a personal level, the fired employee says they, quote, found it very insulting that after decades of military and civil service to my country, I was discarded in a moment with an email. Asked about Musk's claim that the FAA didn't fire anyone affecting safety, this source responded, quote, well, he's wrong. Musk, whose team at SpaceX was scheduled to tour the FAA's air traffic control center on Monday, says his company engineers, quote, will help make air travel safer. Fire everyone and that'll make them safer.
Well, remember, of course, Elon Musk has had several explosive rockets in his tests.
Yes,
so I'm sure we'll get a few of those tests of the FAA new control system in time.
As news of the purge circulated Friday night and over the weekend, FAA staffers and longtime personnel who were already preparing for the worst were stunned at Trump and Musk's recklessness. Multiple sources familiar with the matter told Rolling Stone, quote, holy hell, that was my response, said one FAA official tersely, describing their initial reaction. None of this, of course, means that Trump and Musk were responsible for the five major air disasters so far, but according to one of the fired FAA employees that Rolling Stone spoke to, quote, firing people that do this sort of work is not conducive to preventing accidents. When you lay off people that investigate these things and prevent these things, well, they added, it's only a matter of time. AP reports that other FAA employees who were fired were working on an urgent and classified early warning radar system that the Air Force had announced in 2023 for Hawaii to detect incoming cruise missiles through a program that was in part funded by the Defense Department. Well, that doesn't sound important at all. Let's fire those people. At least not as important as the Energy Department officials, anyway, who were fired en masse last week, only for the administration to desperately now try to find them in order to hire them back after they realized they were the ones who oversee the nation's nuclear weapons stockpile. Oops. Oopsie daisy. Sorry about all of those emails firing you. Since they immediately cut off the email addresses, the work email addresses for these people that they fired, the department is now trying to figure out how to reach those people to let them know they would please like to have them back on the job if you don't mind. More on that a bit later in Desi's latest Green News report. And more on the mass purge, mass firing of federal workers in a bit, if time allows, thousands of which have been fired by DOGE officials claiming that their performance was not up to snuff, even though recent job performance evaluations for thousands of these people find that they were excellent employees. No, they weren't fired for cause. That's just pretend. For the lawsuits. But there's also an increasing number of high-ranking officials who are resigning on their own accord rather than obey dangerous orders that they are receiving from Musk's Doge bros. Now, when we last spoke to you late last week, as the news was breaking, three Department of Justice officials at the time, right at the end of the show, all appointed to their acting roles by the Trump administration, had actually chosen to resign rather than file a motion in court to drop the criminal indictment against New York City's Democratic Mayor Eric Adams, who had been charged last year by the Biden administration's DOJ for some pretty blatant corruption in doing favors for various Turkish interests in exchange for expensive air travel and luxury hotels around the world and for campaign donations, etc. By the end of that night, after we got off air, seven officials at DOJ had resigned, including five at the D.C. Public Corruption Unit, refusing to file the motion to dismiss the charges against Adams as ordered by Trump's personal defense lawyer turned acting deputy attorney general, Emile Beauvais, who had admitted when he issued that order to drop the charges that the order had nothing to do with Adams's guilt or not, but rather that the mayor had agreed to assist the Trump administration in deporting immigrants from New York City, an improper quid pro quo, as Danielle Sassoon, the acting U.S. District Attorney at the Southern District of New York office, had said. And she also, by the way, was a former clerk for the far-right Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, but she would not drop these charges, as she described in an extraordinary letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi before Beauvais took that letter to be a resignation letter from Sassoon. Now, since those seven officials resigned, refusing to file a motion to drop the charges, another official at the Southern District of New York, SDNY, at the office there, Hagen Scotton, the chief prosecutor on the Adams case, who previously worked as a clerk for Chief Justice John Roberts and also for Brett Kavanaugh before he became a Supreme Court justice. So again, not a lefty, but a far right Republican. He also served, Hagen Scotton did, three tours in Iraq and the Army Special Forces. He also tendered his resignation from the Department of Justice, noting in his resignation letter that the reason that Trump's deputy AG was giving to drop the charges against Adams were wildly improper, writing in the resignation letter, quote, "If no lawyer within earshot of the president is willing to give him that advice, then I expect you will eventually find someone who is enough of a fool or enough of a coward to file your motion." Before he added, "But it was never going to be me." Good for him. Since then, after Beauvais' threat to fire every prosecutor at the DOJ's Public Corruption Unit at Main Justice in D.C., if they wouldn't drop the charges, someone finally did step forward to file that motion. I hope to have more on that on tomorrow's broadcast with some expert help. But for now, there has been still more conscientious resignations at the Department of Justice by more Trump appointees who are also unwilling to violate the law and DOJ procedures in service of Trump's weaponization of the agency. This one that we might have included in today's Green News Report, but it came in too late for
us
today.
Yes, it did. Pretty shocking.
The head of the criminal division, the top criminal prosecutor at the Department of Justice in the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. has now resigned as of Tuesday morning after declining to comply with the Trump administration demand to freeze the assets of a multi-billion-dollar Biden administration environmental grant initiative. That, according to Washington Post sources. Veteran prosecutor Denise Chung did not spell out her reasons for her sudden resignation in an emailed announcement to colleagues that was obtained by the Post, Washington Post, but she praised her co-workers for their countless sacrifices in the service of the public and honest law enforcement, noting, quote, "I took an oath of office to support and defend the Constitution, and I have executed this duty faithfully." Her resignation, according to the Post, came in connection with a DOJ effort to assist Trump's new head of the Environmental Protection Agency, who said last week that he would try to rescind $20 billion in grants that were awarded by the Biden administration for climate and clean energy projects under a number of federal laws. Biden administration wasn't just giving away free money. This was a law, several laws, actually, passed by Congress, signed by the president, to create these grants to make clean energy.
And also to build climate resilience projects in communities that are at risk of things like, you know, flooding.
And yet, Donald Trump's EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin, he said on X that the agency would now seek to revoke contracts for a still emerging so-called green bank known as the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund that is set to fund tens of thousands of projects to fight climate change and to promote environmental justice. Apparently, they went to the Justice Department to try to stop that law from moving forward, to claw back some $20 billion. And the top criminal prosecutor at the DOJ said, nope, I ain't doing it. I ain't playing any part of that. The people that the Post spoke to said that Chung and Trump's interim U.S. attorney and henchman, Ed Martin, who, by the way, is a longtime Republican Party operative from Missouri. He never served as a litigator or prosecutor until his appointment to be the acting U.S. attorney in D.C. by Donald Trump. So the two of them, Chung and Martin, disagreed over whether she was delaying efforts to order a financial institution to halt spending transfers pending further investigation, or seeking to reach a compromise by taking steps she believed were ethical and appropriate. So on Monday, there was a heated call between the two of them where Martin was confronted Chung for failing to do what acting Deputy Attorney General Emil Bove's office, remember that's Trump's personal lawyer, for failing to do what they had ordered her to do. The Justice Department has the authority to freeze assets, but can only do that when it has evidence suggesting that these assets are traced somehow to a crime. There was no crime here. There was actually the opposite of crime. This was the law. In this case, the Washington Post sources said that Chung and Martin disagreed on whether halting releases was inappropriate and unethical without any such evidence of a crime, and whether she was disobeying the department's leadership by trying to pause all of this. The leadership wants to just stop it outright and then look for evidence of a crime afterwards. So, again, good on another Trump-appointed DOJ official for doing the right thing here in not just following orders when those orders are either unlawful or unethical. But hey, maybe apparently most MAGA Trump supporters, you don't actually care about the Constitution and the rule of law. Or maybe you think, well, you know what, there's just nothing we can do about it. We'll just hope for the best. I'm sure it'll all be fine. Or maybe you'll be bothered by all of this stuff only if it finally begins to affect you directly. Like, for example, if your Social Security check suddenly doesn't show up like it's supposed to each month. Will you start caring at that point? Well, here's a story for you, then. The acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration left her job this weekend after clashing with billionaire Elon Musk's so-called Doge service over its attempt to access sensitive government records, including all Social Security payments, Social Security numbers, all financial histories, tax histories of recipients, etc. That, according to three people familiar with her departure on Monday, Michelle King, who spent several decades at the agency before being named by the Trump administration as its acting commissioner last month, left her position on Sunday following the disagreement, according to the Post's sources. President Donald Trump appointed Leland Dudek, a manager in charge of Social Security's anti-fraud office, to be the acting commissioner in the meantime, while the administration is said to be vetting a permanent commissioner for the agency. But Dudek was posted as acting commissioner on Monday after dozens of other more senior employees were passed up for this job after King's resignation. Why? Why did they do that? Why did they go to this Leland Dudek? Well, apparently Dudek had posted positive remarks on social media about DOJ's efforts to cut costs and search for fraud in federal agencies. In other words, Dudek was out there on Twitter, probably X.
Yeah.
Saying how great he thought Elon Musk was. Well, let's hire that guy to run the entire Social Security for a while. As long as he says nice things about what Trump is doing, let's get him. Quote, at this rate, they will break it, said Martin O'Malley, the Social Security administrator under the Biden administration. He's also the former Maryland governor. They will break it, and they will break it fast, and there will be an interruption of benefits, he predicted. Adding, quote, it's a shame the chilling effect it has had to disregard 120 senior executive service people to pick an acting commissioner that is not in the senior executive service. He said that sends a message that professional people should leave that beleaguered public agency entirely. The Social Security Administration is responsible for managing pension payments for more than 70 million American seniors and manages significant troves of personal data, including those related to Americans' work and pay history and where they live. Musk's Doge bros had already sought access to records that are typically very closely held across the federal government, prompting disputes with senior officials across numerous agencies. The highest-ranking civil servant at the Treasury Department recently resigned after refusing to grant DOGE access to the Bureau of Fiscal Service. That's the one that manages more than $5 trillion in annual payments on behalf of the U.S. On Sunday, the Washington Post reported that DOGE is now seeking access to a heavily guarded system at the IRS with the detailed financial information about every single taxpayer, every business, every nonprofit in the country. And the Musk DOGE bros have also sought access to sensitive information at the Labor Department. Quote, what I know is that DOGE wanted access to Social Security Administration's sensitive files the same way they're trying to do at Labor and Treasury, and the acting commissioner wouldn't give it, and she was replaced, said Nancy Altman, a president of the nonprofit Social Security Works, citing conversations with several current officials at the agency. The administration, Social Security Administration's records include all Social Security numbers, comprehensive medical records for those who have applied for disability benefits, bank information, earning records, and more. Quote, there is no way to overstate how serious a breach this is, said Altman. Musk has increasingly turned his attention to Social Security in recent days. He's argued that the program is rife with fraud and erroneous payments, but he has failed to offer any actual evidence for those claims. King, the one who quit over the weekend, the acting commissioner, she was a career staffer. She worked at the agency since 1994, according to the agency's website. So for 30 years, now she's gone. Now, I've heard some say that, maybe all of this is good. What's wrong with doing away with waste, fraud, and abuse? After all, even though Musk hasn't shown any actual evidence of any of the fraud that he continues to claim is rife across the federal government, and the so-called evidence that he has shown or the claims that he's made have pretty much all turned out to be false, entirely false. Even though I'm sure there is fraud across the federal government that could be shown, that could be, found and identified, and then you could bring charges against those who were carrying it out, and you could do away with that fraud. That is not what Trump is doing or Musk is doing. Instead, they are massively just purging the federal government while putting critical government services at risk, like air travel and Social Security. That is insane. Oh, but what about efficiency, Brad? Why are you against improving government efficiency, as someone asked me recently on, on X? I'm not. But these moves will make the government less efficient, not more so. Republicans have been pretending and or convincing themselves for years, and frankly, too many on the left have been playing along with this idea that the federal government, oh, it's just gotten huge, it's bloated, it's too big, too bloated, needs to be trimmed down. Back in January, before he was pushed out of Doge himself, Vivek Ramaswamy called for a 75% personnel reduction across all federal agencies. Let's get rid of 75% of them. But as huge as that sounds, as our friend David Dayan, at the American Prospect, the executive editor there, longtime investigative financial journalist, as he reported last month when he was writing about Musk and the Doge bros, even a 75% across-the-board cut in personnel at federal agencies would hardly save anything. According to the Congressional Budget Office, there are about 2.3 million federal employees, which sounds like a lot, with a total compensation in 2023 of $271 billion. So that might sound like a lot of people, a lot of money to you and me. In fact, it's just 4% of the annual U.S. budget. And that's if you count every single federal employee and you just get rid of all of them. Never mind, you know, how much money we would then actually lose when there's nobody to, you know, collect tax revenue, and how much you would lose when there's nobody to send out your Social Security check or your Medicare or Medicaid payments. And how bloated has the government become in the modern era? As Republicans tell us, it's, you know, it's about the federal bureaucracy. It's just become too large, too unmanageable, too bloated. Well, according to Dayan's numbers from the Congressional Budget Office, federal employees were roughly 4.3% of all workers back in 1960. Today, 65 years later, they amount to just 1.4% of all workers. You heard me right. The federal government, if you measure it by the number of workers, is almost a quarter of the size that it was comparatively in 1960. Back when the middle class was growing to, you know, what is now seen as the golden age in America. As a result of the cuts in the size of the government workforce since then, what that means is not only is the government much smaller than it was back in 1960, but we've also seen an explosion in private contractors taking on tasks that government workers used to perform at a much lower cost. Nearly three times as much money is now spent on contractors than on federal workers. So if you fire all the government workers now, all of what they did would eventually be replaced by the private sector, who would be paid more money by the government to do it. Or those, you would just lose those services altogether. Is this what you had in mind for Trump and Musk and their Department of Government Efficiency? Slashing the federal workforce, almost two-thirds of it, by the way, at the Department of Defense, Veterans Affairs, and Homeland Security would likely lead to more expensive contractors and likely more fraud. Quote, when you talk about cutting people in the Pentagon, these are people overseeing military contracts, said economist Dean Baker, where there's already fraud and there would be a lot more. We have the news breaking late today that the Doge bros are now heading to the Pentagon. But of course, they're not looking at all for fraud in the Pentagon or anywhere else. They seem to be looking for it in your tax return, I guess, maybe your Social Security payments. Another chunk of the bureaucracy, notes Dan, is devoted to processing federal benefits. Social Security Administration costs are legendarily low, however. They are down to 0.5%. So imagine if Social Security was handed to the private sector, you think that their cut, their profit would be less, that they would insist upon, would be less than 0.5%? Cutting 75% of its staff, notes Dayan, would delay benefits claims, make checks more difficult to process. It would invite fraudulent scams. That's the opposite of the alleged efficiency goal, he notes. But sure, let's see how it goes. The White House insists they are doing great things, even as it was reported on Sunday night that they are preparing to fire hundreds of senior level Department of Homeland Security officials. They have now laid off thousands of Health Department officials, including many at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid and the FDA. Food safety? I'm sure it'll all be fine. Why not just trust that the administration has our best interests at heart? They want efficiency, after all. Who could be against that? Why don't we just trust them? Why don't we just wait and see how things go? Give them a chance. Wait until it affects us. Wait until I'm in one of those planes. Or it's my Medicaid that gets cut. I'm sure it'll be all right. It's a beautiful day outside. Why get upset? Let's go play pickleball. It may be beautiful today unless you're cut off from your homes in places like, you know, Southern California or Kentucky, where record rainstorms have led to massive flooding and mudslides in both cases, stranding thousands in Kentucky, killing at least a dozen people so far since the weekend, and as the record rain is now turning to record snowfall. But let's cut the budget. Even if we have to get rid of longtime career officials and public servants at Social Security Administration and the Treasury Department and the IRS and the Justice Department, even if we have to break the laws for renewable energy production to help put the brakes on climate change that is making all of this much worse, from Southern California to Kentucky and beyond. Well, the Trump administration has a great solution to that as well. Do away with the Weather Service altogether. That should make things more efficient. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back to discuss that and more, including Desi Doyen's latest Green News report, all ahead on today's Cheery Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
You need to talk about the 3,400 people from the fire service that were fired, for instance. I mean, Donald Trump was out in California talking about how we need more people working on this, that you need to be raking the leaves. Then we're firing people. There are 57% of the land in California is run by the federal government. So you need to do that. Firing these disease detectives when we have measles outbreaks, the nuclear weapons workers that were fired and then they had to get rehired because that was a mistake. They're firing air traffic controllers and they're showing no cause, not based on performance or conduct. Those are real stories that are affecting Americans on the ground.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. The Department of Health and Human Services laid off employees on Saturday evening across some of its biggest agencies, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. The notices were sent on Saturday, indicating the layoffs would expand beyond prior reports of job cuts at the CDC and the National Institutes of Health at a time when Donald Trump's administration is seeking to shrink the size of the federal government. Why? Who knows? Just because, oh yeah, it'll help us pay for our tax cuts for the rich people. And of course, all of this as the measles epidemic in Texas continues to spread, as a bird flu epidemic in a bunch of states is jacking up the price of eggs and spreading to cows and people, while the federal government workers tasked with tracking those diseases are being laid off or their funds frozen in the name of government efficiency. How are you enjoying it so far? CDC's disease detectors among the hundreds fired at the agency over the weekend. Mass firings continue across the nation's health industries. According to NBC, those health officials laid off on Saturday included employees that evaluate the safety of medical devices and conduct oversight of Affordable Care Act or Obamacare exchanges. We don't need them. Around 1,000 termination notices went out to employees at the National Institutes of Health over the weekend. Cuts were also made at HHS's Administration for Children and Families, which funds child care and Head Start programs. The full scope of the cuts remains unclear, however, notes Bloomberg, because DOGE is not transparent in the least, despite the lies that Elon Musk tells about them. And of course, all of these workers were told that they were not fit for continued employment because your ability, knowledge, and skills do not fit the agency's current needs, and your performance has not been adequate to justify further employment at the agency, even though, as we have seen at agency after agency, these are employees with excellent work records. There will be many more such cuts as the services that you count on from the federal government will either be privatized, if you're lucky, or they will disappear altogether. Des, you have been tracking a whole bunch of other agencies where we're also seeing these mass purges over the last few days.
Yes, where we are seeing the job-killing president cutting services that Americans pay for with their taxes. Because, you know, you don't deserve anything back for the taxes you pay, apparently, if you're an average working-class American. So they've cut nearly 170 workers at the National Science Foundation, the ones that give out the grants for science research. EPA fired nearly 400, who especially the entire Environmental Justice Office was put on leave because, you know, they're the ones that help people in minority communities deal with pollution. They also fired hundreds.
Since they're on the front line of the worst pollution.
Exactly. The USDA, they've also purged an unknown number of employees there, but they were primarily at the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, which supports agriculture, science, and technology research.
Don't need it.
600 workers.
Not efficient.
600 workers placed on leave at the Bonneville Power Administration that covers the transmission grid.
Oh, the electric grid.
Pacific Northwest. They halted firing.
Who needs it?
They halted hiring, rather, of Forest Service crews, which, of course, will affect wildfires going forward. They've also purged the
Donald Trump said, rake the forest. You're not taking care of your forest. And then he fired all the people who would rake the forest.
Exactly. And stopped hiring the ones who would prepare the forests against that kind of wildfire stuff.
Yep.
But they're not going to be there to do that kind of prep work this year. They've also fired a lot of National Park Service employees. Yosemite National Park's reservation system is apparently shut down right now.
Who visits them?
And the
they're not needed.
Emergency medical technicians have been fired there, too. So make sure you don't get hurt or lost there.
What a waste.
Zion National Park, the same. Seasonal jobs have all been rescinded, so there will be fewer people manning the national parks when the summer crush comes.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Speaking of services that you count on, Donald Trump's U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, has placed onerous new restrictions on its scientists that people within the key agency who have not yet been fired say could hamper the quality and availability of the world's weather forecasts, among other key services. That, according to Eric Holdhouse and Ajit Naranjan at The Guardian. And it's all fun because, you know, this news came last week. I've been trying to get to this for several days. It came last week as two huge winter storms were on the verge of slamming the U.S. from pretty much the East Coast to the West Coast. But let's do away with the weather forecasting, shall we? The new requirements have created a sense of unease within the agency, says The Guardian. That, according to current and former high-level NOAA scientists and officials The Guardian spoke with, and has alarmed our partners at European agencies. Quote, my expectation is that it's going to be a crackdown on climate, said a senior NOAA scientist. People are just somewhere between disturbed and terrified. 2 weeks ago, NOAA's Office of Research sent a message to all staff saying that, quote, effective immediately, the agency's headquarters will implement a new layer of oversight over its scientists' emails and virtual meetings with foreign nationals. Oversight I guess by the tyrannical administration is okay, just not oversight of that administration, apparently. The new restrictions also require NOAA employees and affiliates to document, quote, all international engagements in an internal spreadsheet for approval by a Trump political appointee on a case-by-case basis. So any conversation or work with anyone overseas must be approved first by Trump's political henchmen at the science agency, one of the world's most highly regarded, at least it was up until now. Quote, it's a crazy amount of stuff to do, said one of the scientists who didn't want to be named. Working internationally is so routine, it's just hardly thought of. Well, they'll think of it now because now they're not allowed to do it for some reason. But the additional administrative burden appears to be especially onerous for the National Weather Service, the division of NOAA that underpins all weather forecasting in the U.S. and provides a constant stream of data on the atmosphere and oceans to the world for free as a public good. Well, that needs to be stopped ASAP. Desiree, you've argued that these guys want to privatize the Weather Service to charge people for their currently free weather reports?
Yes, that has been a long-time goal of Republicans. They don't like the idea that that stuff is going away for free and nobody's making money off of
it. But I think that is true. But I think it's also true that they just want to shut down as much work as they can by NOAA and the National Weather Service because they're the ones collecting and issuing the data that is so important to the science of climate change. And if we stop collecting that data, well, climate change won't exist anymore. I think that's what a lot of this is about, particularly when it comes to, you know, we don't want you talking to people overseas and telling them what our data says.
Oh, absolutely.
A climate scientist at the EU's Copernicus Weather and Climate Agency, who didn't wish to be named for some reason, said he was, quote, appalled and saddened when he heard the news. The quote, the climate crisis knows no boundaries, the scientist said, and halting international scientific collaboration can only undermine our ability to understand and combat it, which, of course, is the point. You're welcome, fossil fuel industry donors to Donald Trump and the Republicans. You are getting exactly what y'all purchased. Everyone else, however, gets screwed or, frankly, killed. According to reporting from CBS, quote, current employees have been told to expect a 50% reduction in staff and budget cuts of 30%. Before he was confirmed as the director of the Office of Management and Budget last week, Project 2025 architect Russ Vogt proposed a 38% budget cut for NOAA to, quote, curb excessive mission creep in key agencies, halt steadily increasing climate extremism within the department, and eliminate the prioritization of woke agendas, you know, woke weather. Other policy experts within Trump's inner circle want to privatize the National Weather Service, but a recent study found that for every dollar invested in the National Weather Service, it produces $73 in value to the American people and more to the world through the freely available public data access. But let's all cut all of that off in the name of efficiency. Quote, cutting these services now would be a reckless decision that would cost far more in lives and damage than it would ever save on a balance sheet, said Craig Carbon, who until recently served as the chief of the forecast operations branch for the Weather Services Prediction Center. Quote, investing in weather and climate services is not a cost. It is an essential safeguard for the national security, economy, and well-being, he said. Accurate forecasts protect lives, mitigate billions of dollars in disaster-related damages, and enable businesses from agriculture to transportation to operate more efficiently, said Carbon. But how could that be? The so-called Department of Government Efficiency is trying to hobble NOAA. Earlier this month, Musk's Doge placed the head of NOAA's human resources team on administrative leave and initiated an agency-wide purge of activities related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. In other words, initiatives related to anti-discrimination. Got to do away with that. According to further reporting, NOAA staff have also recently been asked to compile a list of all climate-related programs that the agency currently operates or funds.
Which is basically all of them.
A kill list. European scientists who work with NOAA said they're worried by what they'd heard from their U.S. colleagues. Quote, one of the most concerning aspects of this situation is the availability of U.S. data sets for environmental science, particularly in weather forecasting and climate science. That according to an atmospheric scientist at the EU's Copernicus. The Weather Service employs usually about 4,500 scientists and technicians, but it's already struggling to keep itself fully staffed. And the big cuts have not even come yet.
Mm.
So I guess more Americans who are killed by, you know, predictable storms and fires and floods and hurricanes and tornadoes can thank the efficiency of the federal government. Just don't talk about climate change, because then we'd actually have to do something about it. And it would make Donald Trump and his funders in the fossil fuel industry very, very sad. Speaking of which, let's get to it. Our latest Green News Report.
This will be the 13th federal declaration of disaster just since I've been governor.
The costs of climate change continue to mount across the country.
In a letter to the governor, the Federal Emergency Management Agency said the increased level of funding requested is not warranted.
Trump's FEMA already denying disaster aid to states. Plus, Trump officials fired nuclear staff, not realizing they oversee the country's nuclear weapons stockpile.
All of those insane stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We buy a lot of stuff from our neighbors to the north. They're our largest foreign supplier of crude oil. Also, our largest supplier of polite oil.
That's true. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, it seems like the whole nation from the West Coast to the East Coast has been getting slammed by winter storms lately, even as the Trump administration is, cutting the Weather Service and cutting FEMA. So I'm sure everything's fine. What do you got for us today?
Well, you are correct. The eastern U.S. is grappling with extreme cold and flooding, while fire-damaged California deals with record rainfall and mudslides. And the costs of climate change continue to build, even as the Trump administration is dismantling U.S. climate policy and disaster aid.
Brilliant.
The mounting toll today includes Kentucky, where a deadly storm generated record-breaking rainfall, extreme flooding, and even tornadoes as it swept across the southern U.S. over the weekend, raising rivers to historic levels. As we go to air, the storm has killed at least 13 people across multiple states. The majority of deaths are in Kentucky, according to Governor Andy Beshear. More than 1,000 rescued from floodwaters, power knocked out to hundreds of thousands with another snowstorm and brutal icy weather on the way, compounding the disaster. Here's Governor Beshear on CBS.
This is one of the biggest flooding events we've had, and it's basically happening in the middle of multiple snowstorms.
Human-caused climate change is leading to more frequent and intense extreme precipitation events. That's according to numerous studies. And it has intensified flooding events, making them increasingly severe in this era of extreme weather. In California, another atmospheric river hit the state, bringing some new rainfall records and flooding and mudslides to areas burned in January's massive deadly fires in Los Angeles. California's drought to deluge cycle, with extreme weather whiplash careening between fires and floods, even shut down the iconic Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu for the second time in just weeks, all in line with climate scientists' predictions for global warming. The LA Times reports that California's state-backed home insurance plan of last resort has now run out of money pay the wave of claims stemming from the LA fires. It will get a $1 billion infusion from a pool paid for by private insurance companies, but it is intensifying the state's home insurance crisis.
And I'm guessing Donald Trump and FEMA are not in a rush to fill that gap?
No, they are not. Hmm. Even as disaster costs continue to surge across the country, Donald Trump has said that he wants to dismantle FEMA to offload the burden of disaster costs and recovery onto states, as dictated in the right-wing manifesto Project 2025. Trump's FEMA has already begun denying disaster aid requests. FEMA rejected Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp when he requested an extension to disaster relief deadlines for communities still recovering from last year's Hurricane Helene. But Trump's FEMA said the extension is not warranted. In California, FEMA has also sparked outrage in doubling down on its decision to cancel further soil testing after cleanup of toxic wildfire ash and debris across Los Angeles County. Follow-up soil testing after every major wildfire in the state is routine, but Trump's FEMA has declared it will not fund that testing to ensure that no contamination remains on those properties.
So, in fact, contamination will remain on those properties.
And finally, critics warn that indiscriminate purges of critical federal workers by Elon Musk's self-invented Doge organization is playing Russian roulette with the nation's power grid. The layoff spree at the Department of Energy is hitting federal workers who keep the power grids running, risking serious reliability issues. And Trump officials fired nuclear staff at the National Nuclear Security Administration, apparently not realizing that they oversee the country's nuclear weapons stockpile. There is some good-ish news. They are now in the process of rehiring them back just as soon as they can figure out how to reach them.
Russian roulette is right. For much more on that story and all the other ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You're small as a beetle, a big as a whale. Boom, atomic cocktail.
Enjoy the cocktail. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's broadcast, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. That service made possible by those of you kind enough to hit a donate button at bradblog.com or go straight to bradblog.com/donate to help us stay on your public airwaves. It is much needed and greatly appreciated. Drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. You'll find me on the social medias, especially Blue Sky at The Brad Blog. And that's it. We'll see you there. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
That's the drink that you don't pour. Now when you take one sip, you won't need any more. If you're small as a beetle or big as a whale, atomic cocktail.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.